Hallelujah. You bring your Bible tonight?
Yes, sir.
Go with me if you brought it. I'm just going to, well, let's see where we end up. How about we just, let's let me start and then we'll see where we end up. I don't remember when it was. I would say probably two or three weeks ago now. I think it was a Sunday morning, but anyway, here we were preaching on and ministering on the pace of your faith.
Yes.
Anybody remember that?
Yes.
I've heard more comments out of that service than I've heard for about any services for a while. So apparently it hit a mark.
Yes, sir.
And helped some folks, and we thank God for that. I want to pick up on some of that tonight and take it, maybe not spend as much time on that as take it in a different direction that when I got back from ministers conference, the Lord started talking to me about.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you hungry?
Yes, sir.
Hungry people grab and growl, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Back in 2018, I think it was June of 2018, the Lord spoke to me and he said, make my people skillful in faith.
Yes.
Now, we can't make people. You know what he meant by make.
Yeah.
We're not called to make anybody anything.
Right.
But in other words, he's just saying supply what they need to be able to do that.
Yes,
and it's our choice whether we're skillful at something or not, right?
Yes,
especially in spiritual things. And so we started out talking about that whenever we were talking about the pace of our faith. And because being skillful in faith has a lot to do with all that the Bible says about walking by faith. We're interested in walking by faith. This is how we live. This is how we get saved. This is how we this is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Faith is a huge, huge part of the Christian life. And so you say, well, love is more important. Well, yeah, maybe, but faith works by love. So, you know, you gotta know that they go together. But so we started talking about that, and there's so many things to faith you could teach on it for the rest of your life, literally, and not exhaust the subject. But one of the things you have to know if you're going to be skillful in faith, you have to know the measure of your faith. And we've talked about that, and recently it's just kind of been stirring up in my heart again. Because, you know, everybody was dealt when we got born again. We all know this, but we're just laying a foundation here tonight. We were dealt the measure of faith. Every one of us. No, nobody got any more than another person. I mean, you know, it's all the measure. It didn't say a measure. The measure of faith. The measure of faith. Now, whatever we do with that determines whether that measure grows, because that measure can grow. I want mine to grow. I don't want to wrap it up in a napkin when Jesus comes back and say, here's the faith you gave me. No, I want him to say, your faith that you gave me multiplied 10 times or 100 times or whatever. And so that whenever I meet him, I have fruit to produce, to bring to him. And I'm not just talking about a new car or something. I'm talking about the plan of God. I fulfilled the plan of God with my faith. And his plan is finances too. I mean, you can't fulfill the plan of God without finances.
That's right.
I can give you a verse on that. The Bible says, to do certain things like have a feast and invite everybody that doesn't have any money and feed them all. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't have finances?
Yes.
You know, so anyway, we won't get off on so many tangents tonight. But so you have to know your measure of faith, and you have to stay within your measure, and you have to know how to measure your faith. And one way you measure your faith is, we've taught about it from Romans. It talks about joy and peace in believing. You can keep, if you stay within where you have joy and where you have peace, you're in your measure of faith. But if you're out beyond where you can ward off the worry and the fear, then you're out beyond your measure of faith. You know what I mean? You're waking up in hot sweats at night, can't get back to sleep. Because you're worrying about something you stepped out into. Well, you might be beyond your measure. Now, I don't mean if you're within your measure, you won't have worry come to you. But if you're within your measure, you can ward it off. You can get it off of you. Right? God has a better way for us to live than just full of worry and full of fear. Praise the Lord. So the measure is important. But and then we talked about the pace of your faith is important. Knowing the pace of your faith. Right? So we talked about, I talked about a man and I saw on social media, he was helping his daughter I think she was in a training relay or maybe it was in actually a marathon where he was somehow, I don't know if she had an air tag on her or what, how he was doing this, but he was not, you know, running with her. He was or in a vehicle with her.
Yeah.
I mean, beside her, but he was, somehow he was just kind of down at the finish line and he was watching the clock where she was on the race. I think it was like a 5 mile race or whatever. And, watching where she was compared to, what pace she was going to have to be at in order to beat her record time.
Yeah.
Or at least meet her record time,
yeah.
You know? And so, because you, in order to finish, you have to know the pace that you got to go at.
Yes, that's good. Yes,
sir. Right? You can go too slow and not get across the finish line in time, or you can go too fast and knock yourself out, so to speak, physically, because you push too hard. And so then you're going to drag the last part of the race, and all the time you thought you made up, you're going to lose more than that, you know, dragging across the finish line.
Yeah.
Or pooped out on the side of the course.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's the country term we used growing up. I figured it would work in Iowa, right? So he was helping her, and you say, how do I know if I'm on pace? Well, you got someone living on the inside of you to tell you whether you're on pace or not, and he'll let you know you're getting behind. I've known at times I've been behind. Anybody ever known that? Now, I'm not talking about condemnation telling me I'm behind, because condemnation will always tell you, you could be further along. Well, welcome to the human race, you know.
Yeah.
We're not talking about condemnation. We're talking about the Spirit of God will bear witness with you. And it's not condemnation. It's just a knowing on the inside.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so whatever the pace is that you need to have, you need to get across the finish line. You know, that's the Holy Ghost will let you know on the inside.
Amen.
And the pace is not what other people, what the pace of somebody else is at.
Right.
That's not your gauge.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is your gauge.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so it's important. Now somebody said, well, isn't the goal just to go as fast as you can? Not necessarily. The goal is to finish.
Yes. Right.
And you can go as fast as you can and knock yourself out. You know, the old timers did that. A lot of the old timers, like some of the, not everybody, but some of the healing revival evangelists, they were going at such a pace. A lot of them died at an early age. They ruined their bodies or wore down their bodies. Well, what good are you? Dying at some of them. One of them died at the age of 34 for several reasons. Won't get into that, but think of all those years that he could have had if he'd paced himself correctly, right?
Yeah.
And so the goal is not to just go as fast as you can; it's to get across the finish line by the right time.
Yes, sir.
And I know whenever I first started in the plan of God, walking as a teenager, started walking with God, I just was going all out, and it's right to go all out, but you have to go all out within your measure of faith.
Yeah.
And how grace is laboring in you, because grace is going to labor in you at a certain pace.
Yeah, that's right.
And that pace is not what it is for somebody else. You know, we got to get to some other things tonight, so we're not going to take all this time to go over this again. You can go back and listen to what we shared. But I was starting out I was pushing too hard, to be honest, as a teenager, young 20-year-old and so forth. And the Lord spoke to me one day, because I was a sprinter in high school. I've told you that.
Yeah.
And forget the marathons. I didn't like marathons at all. I mean, that endurance stuff. I mean, no, I just want to be a burst of energy out of the blocks.
Yeah.
And get across the finish line within 100 yards or 50 meters or something like that.
Yeah.
And beat everybody. Praise God. Because I could beat everybody, at least until I got to state, and then they beat me. So I decided I'm not good enough for this. I better pick a different profession, you know. The Lord said to me, because that's the way I was thinking about my spiritual race. A sprint, you know, I mean, a burst of energy, and then you can't last very long. But the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, my plan for you, the course I've got you on, is not, he said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Amen.
And he just with that one statement, he changed my whole way of thinking.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's people that are going so fast that they're missing directions and leadings. And so they're going real fast, but they're going the wrong direction. You understand that? And if you're going the wrong direction, you're not making up time. You're wasting time. Anyway, that's all free. I don't want to get into all that again because that's not what's on my heart tonight. But the pace is important. The pace is important. Now, you can hear that, what I'm talking about, and you can think, well, going fast is wrong. That's not what I said. You have to go at the pace that grace has taken you and that your measure of faith is able to handle.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the goal is to get across the finish line and to finish your course. Don't you want to hear well done?
Yes.
And you have to know that in your heart that your pace is at the right, you know, you're moving at the right pace. You're keeping pace with how God's working in you.
Yeah.
You have to know in your heart that. And you have to get your eyes off other people.
That's right.
Whether they're faster than you or slower than you, you got to get your eyes off of other people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because they're not the ones you're going to stand before to hear well done.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. And you can't just say, well, they're getting into this and they're taking this step to in ministry. Let's just say we got two young people called into the ministry. Not everything is about the ministry because not everybody's called to the ministry. But this is what I'm familiar with. And I'll just use the illustration. Two young people called to the ministry and they see one of them taking a step to do this, to take the next step into it. And they think, well, I got to do that too because I got to keep pace. No, God didn't lead you. God didn't lead you through what he led somebody else to do. That's not God talking to you whenever God talked to somebody else.
Yeah, right, right.
When we grew up in Pennsylvania, we had a neighbor who was Pennsylvania has a lot of apple orchards. And we had a neighbor that was right between our farm and was my grandfather's farm. And then whenever he went on to heaven, my uncle bought it. But between our two farms, there was a big old apple orchard. And that neighbor, I don't know what it was about him. He was always trying to keep pace with my dad. My dad would get a car, he went and bought a new car. My dad got a new tractor, he went and got a new tractor. And it dawned on us after a while, he's just doing whatever we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not the leading of God.
No.
You're going to get in big trouble doing what somebody else is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Anyway, I'll get off of that. So did you get anything out of that? That's all free. The sweet spot in life comes when the pace is always moving with his movement.
Right.
Remember Acts 17:28?
Yes.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Yeah.
Our movement is to be in him.
Yes.
Our movement, say it out loud, my movement is to be in him.
Be in him.
Amen. In other words, how's he moving? Now, The race is not a natural race, it is a spiritual race.
Yeah.
And so it includes spiritual growth and spiritual development.
Yes.
And so there's some things you won't get into as far as the plan of God for your life without growing some spiritually first.
Yeah.
You realize that?
Yes, sir.
I've gotten into some things in ministry. I told you about years ago when we first were on the road. The Lord spoke to me. There's some things we were getting into, some things in the move of God, some things in ministry along certain lines and flows of the Spirit that were greatly opposed by the enemy and always is, regardless of who it is. It's not anything personal. It's just there's certain kinds of ministry the devil just hates.
Yeah.
Right.
We were getting into that. And all hell, I've told you this over and over again, all hell broke loose.
Yeah. Right.
All hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And I went to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what's going on here? And he said, back out of that.
Yeah. Right.
He said, you're not ready for that arena of ministry. Back out of that. I didn't have what it took. See, I was getting ahead in ministry, ahead of my spiritual development.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that were coming against my mind, the bombardment, I wasn't able to keep it off of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been to the place where you thought you're just about ready to go crazy.
Oh, come on.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to assess why, if you're at that place, you got to assess why am I at that place?
Yeah.
Is there anything I've done to get out beyond where my spiritual growth allows me to walk in God? This is just good pastoral preaching. So, and if not, then you can get help on that. God will make sure and help you if you'll listen to him. But anyway, I'm trying to not open too many cans, and you know, the sweet spot's coming in life is when you come to the pace of always just moving with him, not ahead of him, not behind him, but right in step with him. I know Brother Hagin said the Lord told him one time, he said, I'd rather you be, if anything, a little behind me, not a little ahead of me or way ahead of me. Because if you're a little behind me, at least you can see where I am. But if you're ahead of me, you don't know where to go, you know, because I'm not out ahead of you showing you where to go. It's not that we need to be behind or ahead. We can be right beside him. But it's more dangerous to get ahead of God. You know what I mean? Get ahead of God. It's a little bit like crawdad fishing in the creek. You don't know anything about crawdad fishing in the creek unless you grew up in Pennsylvania or Iowa. But see, when you're crawdad fishing, you don't want to get upstream crawdad fishing downstream, because when you walk, when you walk, you're kicking over rocks. And you're pushing sand down the stream and you can't see the crawdads. You want a crawdad fish upstream, right? And you want to be facing upstream. And you don't want to get ahead of the crawdads. You want to be behind them, right? Because if you get ahead of them, you muddy up the water. And that's the way it is with getting ahead of God. You get out there and you're doing all your stuff, flailing around, and you're up there muddying up the waters. See, that's good country talk for people that know what crawdad fishing is like. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, just keep in pace with God. Keep in pace with his movements is how you move in the right pace. Hallelujah. Now, getting into what God has for you is often a progression of steps. Especially when it comes to the plan of God. The Bible talks about in Romans 4:12, the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Taking especially the plan of God, and even certain faith projects, like financial faith projects or something in your body. It can be a series of steps. If you can't take it all at once, take some steps.
That's good.
You know, we're getting ready to put up the Christmas decorations. They're going to bring that big old ladder. It goes all the way up to those lights. They're going to bring that in here. And you just come and watch. I guarantee you, nobody is going to back up and run and jump and catch that top step. They're just going to get on the first step, and then they're going to get on the second step, and then they're going to get on the... See, that's how you hurt yourself, trying to jump to that top step. And that's how you hurt yourself in faith, trying to jump into it all sometimes. If you got the faith to jump into it, fine. God will meet you there. But a lot of people, they get out ahead of their faith and they hurt their faith. What do I mean hurt their faith? They do something that brings discouragement. They bring a failure into their faith. Not faith never fails, but I'm saying they bring a failure into their life because they tried to get out beyond their faith and they hurt their faith.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Anyway, I'm trying to get to the thing the Lord's wanting me to talk about tonight. So, but you have to take steps. So, getting into what God has for you is often a progression of steps that leads you to take certain steps of faith. And so one reason people get discouraged or despondent is because they're not taking the steps that God leads them to take. Your faith needs victories. Say that out loud. My faith needs victories. Even if it's just a little one, your faith needs a victory.
Yes. Amen.
There's nothing more discouraging than just continuing year after year and you're not progressing. Just spinning your wheels. And that can be for a number of reasons. I can't get into all that tonight. But you just need to know faith is built. I've said this before. Faith is built on successes.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You try to say it. Amen. It's built on successive successes.
Yes.
Say that out loud. It's built on, say
my faith
is built on successes. Hallelujah. You need some success under your belt. You need some notches on the stock of your gun, your faith gun.
Hallelujah.
Successes. All right, let's move on. Everybody say movement. Remember, in him we live and we what?
Move.
Say, we move. Don't sit still.
Move.
Take some movement. Make some movement. Now, moving with the movement of God often has to do with moving with revelation. If you're going to move with God, you have to move with the revelation of the word. Amen. And primarily, I'm talking about the in Christ revelation. You want to start moving forward, move with this revelation. Now, what do I mean move with it? I mean renew your mind with it, always talk it, always develop the habit of going first to who I am in Christ rather than what does the bank account say or what does my natural body say? Build that revelation into you to where everything that comes up in life, you don't move with the circumstances, you move with the revelation. Say, move with the revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is what I wanted to get into tonight. Aren't you glad it only took me 20 minutes? I want to get into movement and how that as you continue to take steps and move with revelation as it progresses in your life. Because revelation is progressive. Revelation from the days of the book of Genesis, actually the book of Job is the earliest written book in the whole Bible. And back there you see very little revelation that came to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob didn't have near the revelation, and the prophets didn't have near the revelation that we have in the New Testament. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number, I'll look this up. I've got it written down, I mean. It says in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, that the prophets prophesied about our day and Jesus and the grace that it would be revealed to us, not even knowing exactly who it was they were prophesying to about or what it was all about. So they didn't have the revelation that we have. And Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, he said, he told parables and he brought forth revelation. And then Matthew 13:35, he said this he said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet saying, I open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus said some things and brought revelation that man didn't know from the foundation of the world. And then Paul comes on the scene and brings revelation forward even further. He talked about the mystery which God revealed to him that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And that mystery, you want to know what that is? It's all the in Christ revelation. You say, well, Jesus started talking about it a little bit, but man couldn't comprehend it till he got born again.
Come on.
That's why Jesus said in John's gospel, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. What is that? Revelation, but it's progressive. Yes. Guide into, it sounds like a progression, doesn't it? Yes. It's not, you know, all of a sudden you get born again and bam, you're plunked into the fullness of the revelation. No, it's like Isaiah said, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Yes.
That's why you need to keep coming to church.
Yes.
Because you and I can't get it all in one hearing.
Amen.
Praise God. The key to victory is just, I'm going to use just stick with it. Just keep at it. It's like the tortoise and the hare thing. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Day in, day out. Come, good day, bad day, whatever. I'm not talking about you inside of you. I'm talking about circumstances. Just stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. You'll be way ahead of the guy that gets all excited and then he just, you don't see him anymore. Bible talks about people with joy who receive the parable of the sower. Jesus talked about people who with joy receive the word in time of temptation, they perish. They give it up. They quit. They say that faith stuff doesn't work.
Come on.
Amen. I tried that faith stuff and it doesn't work. No, it tried you and you flunked.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm going to get to what I'm going to preach tonight. This is all my introduction. So faith is faith and revelation is progressive, right? There are things that have been reserved for this era. I'm talking about revelations that have been reserved for this era. Just for the end time church. When I say end time, I'm talking about the church in the last days of the church age. It's the same church, but we're in the last days of the church age. And there are things that are being revealed right now concerning in Christ that generations have not heard.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And as that revelation is progressing, those who get up in it starts carrying them. And their life starts progressing with that revelation. Hallelujah. And the more we flow in that revelation, the more that the pace is hastened. And listen to this, the more momentum it comes into our life. Everything you're believing God for, the momentum of it is built and the pace of it is hastened by revelation. Revelation has its own pace. But the degree that you and I are willing to walk in that revelation determines our pace.
Yeah. That's so good.
It's like revelation is moving in the earth, but how much you put up your sail to it depends on how much you're moving with it. You can put up a little bit of a sail a foot high and you might move a little bit, but you can hoist your sail all the way up into the revelation and you're just,
come on.
Your life is moving forward. Your health is springing forth speedily. You ever read that? When your light breaks forth as the morning, your health will spring forth speedily. Health is in revelation.
Right.
And especially in moving with revelation.
Right.
Say it out loud. I'm moving with revelation. Amen. You know why churches dry up? They stop at their first revelation. That's why they lose the anointing. That's why they lose their candlestick and eventually close. Because they're not continuing to move with revelation. Every denomination was built around the first revelation. And most of them didn't move beyond their first revelation. But God was not done with that revelation. He's continuing to bring revelation upon revelation upon revelation upon revelation. And that'll happen. Really, it'll happen for the eons. The Bible said in the ages to come. We're in the church age. There are ages to come. In the ages to come, he's going to show and reveal his riches of his grace and his kindness. See, that's eons of revelation upon revelation. Revelation upon revelation. But we're in that flow right now. And churches and individuals who flow with that, they go from glory to glory. And from faith to faith. And from strength to strength. And from one degree of health to another degree of health. And one degree of blessing. And one degree of flow of finances. And one degree of anointing to another degree of anointing. Hallelujah. In May of 2018, we were in Russia. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy were there. And they had, some of us ministers were with them. And we're speaking in the mornings. But Pastor Nancy ministered to the ministers. She got to me, laid hands on me, and she said, doors, doors, doors. Large openings to large rooms of revelation. Revelation that is necessary. These rooms have reserve signs on the doors. Listen to that. These rooms of revelation have reserve signs on the doors, for they're reserved for this last day era. Hallelujah. No one else, in other words, no previous generations, could access these rooms because they are assigned for this last day era.
Amen.
You're invited in.
Yeah.
She's talking to me. Really, everybody in the body of Christ is invited in. But you're invited. She's talking about ministers, me as a minister, preaching revelation. You're invited in. You're invited in. And as far as you go into that room is determined by you, not by the Father, because He's opened the door to you. Now go in and access, listen, as much as you have faith for. Praise God. How much faith do you have for revelation? Did you ever think about that? Am I using my faith for revelation? Well, those of you sitting here tonight probably are. I mean, you wouldn't be in church Wednesday night if you weren't using your faith for revelation.
Yeah.
Right? But the degree of faith you use for revelation determines how much comes.
Right.
Remember Romans 1, 16 and 17? The gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God in Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, notice, from faith to faith. How do we get revelation? From faith to faith. In other words, we get more as our faith grows. Or as we use our faith for revelation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I'm going from glory to glory. Praise God. See, can you see now that revelation is progressive? And you and I have to put our sail up into it, so to speak, and move with it. And that might mean move to a city where it's being preached. Well, I don't know why I would do that. Well, you would do it because everything else that you want or need is in the revelation.
It's in the revelation.
See, people don't prize this enough.
Come on, Ed. Yeah. That's right.
Find somebody that's got it and preaching it and hook up with them.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have it all. You don't have it all.
Right.
But we're all looking for the flow and where it is and hooking up with that.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, remember the Bible said so mightily, talking about in Acts, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. Notice your job is not to prevail. You following that?
Yeah.
It's revelation that will prevail. So mightily grew the word, and the word prevailed. Stop trying to do what the word was intended to do. Y'all getting that? The word is what prevails in your life. Well, I've just always struggled in the area of my health or some other area or my mind. You know, a lot of attacks against my mind. It's a lack of the revelation. It's a lack of revelation. And that's not a slam. That's just a diagnosis. You know, whenever you go to the doctor and he says, well, it's this, it's that. That's, he's not slamming you. He's just, he's giving you answers. He's giving you help.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. And so, you know, it needs to be prized. Revelation needs to be prized for what it really is. It is the container of everything that we need in this life. Praise the Lord. And it's progressive. So the more of it, the more we get of what's in it. Amen. And the Bible says, in thy light we see light. We could say, in thy revelation, we see more revelation. In other words, walking in what we have determines if we get any more. Say amen.
Amen.
So you have to respond right to revelation for it to progress in you and through you. Now, not only is the word getting in you determined by you, so mightily grew the word and prevailed, but the pace that it grows is determined by you. Did you get that? Okay, I'm going to say it again because you didn't get that. The pace that the word gets in you is determined by you. How much attention are you giving to it?
That's good.
Well, I come on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's going to take a long time.
Yeah,
It's going to have to be much more than that if you want to get across the finish line on time.
Right.
Has to be a focus. Has to be a something that your attention is on. Remember, as the Bible said, we're to meditate in the Word day and night. All the rest of the time, you can think about what you want to think about. So you think we laugh because we think that's funny. That's not funny. I'm not upset at anybody that laughed. I'm saying the point is, how serious do you want this? Amen. So the Word, we determine the pace that the Word gets in us. Hallelujah. If we won't even respond to the light we have right now, why would God give us any more? Because it's going to fall on bad stewarding, bad ground. Hallelujah. So, God's plan moves in the earth. His plan moves in the earth by revelation. The way God got Jesus into the earth was by talking to Mary.
Yeah. Right.
Revelation.
Yes.
Right? Right? Yeah. Everything God does is by God speaking to a man, giving him a piece of his plan, and him stewarding that and moving with that so that the plan moves forward. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And so it was her yes. I'm talking about Mary now. It was her yes that made her God's choice.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know that this happened, but we don't know that it didn't happen. Mary might not have been God's first choice. She might not have been the first one God talked to. I'm not trying to create a new doctrine. I'm just saying we don't know. But I know today there's a lot of folks that weren't God's first choice who end up being the one God used because they were the first one to say yes. They're the first one to say yes. So the plan moved forward with them. And whenever you say yes to this in Christ revelation, you just became a part of the plan of God in this era. You just became a part. Because the plan of God moves forward with people who say yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He does what he does in the earth through men. But he does what he does in the earth through men who receive his revelation. Isn't that right? We're laborers together with God. We are advancing a message. That's what Spirit of Faith is all about. Advancing a message.
Yeah. Amen.
Advancing the message of Christ, in Christ. So, praise the Lord. Now, let's switch gears just a little bit here. Movement, let's take the movement. When you think about in Him we live and we move. See, that's where we're getting this movement. Movement, revelation has movement. When we move by revelation, we move with God.
Yeah.
We move with God. We move with His plan. We move with what He's doing in the earth. Movement. Take a car. You're going to get in your car after the service, I assume. I don't think you rode your bike. So you're going to get in your car. Maybe somebody rode a motorcycle. Same principle on the motorcycle. It's getting a little cold for that, but whatever. We're from Iowa. That's, you know, it's 20 degrees and people walk down the street with the shorts on, right? So, praise the Lord. So, but... So you're going to get in your car and you're going to, you know, get it in reverse, pull out, and then you're going to accelerate.
Yeah.
You're going to hit the accelerator. You're going to make a few short turns and then you're going to get out on the main road and you're going to ramp up to speed, hopefully stop at the speed limit. But I won't throw any stones if you don't. So, but you're going to accelerate until you get to a certain speed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And let me ask you a question. Does it take more energy to maintain that speed when you get there, or does it take more energy to get to that speed? I'm talking about in the form of burning gas. It takes more energy to get to that speed, right? That wasn't a trick question. That's just that everybody understands that, right? Why is it that it takes more energy to get to that speed than to maintain it? Because once you maintain it, there's this law. I don't remember what it's called, that most objects in motion tend to stay in motion.
Right?
We would call it momentum, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, when you get up to speed, you have what's called momentum. You used the energy in the gas tank in the form of burning it in your engine.
Yeah.
You use it to get up to that speed. And it took energy to get up to that speed. And it takes energy to maintain that. That, but it doesn't take as much energy to maintain what is called momentum as it does to accelerate to a momentum. Am I making any sense? So there is Jesus. The Bible says we can understand spiritual things by natural things. Romans 1 talks about that. And Jesus laid spiritual truths besides natural parables. You know, the kingdom of God is like a fishnet. The kingdom of God is like this, or leaven in the bread. He just used natural illustrations. Why? He's laying spiritual truths that maybe people didn't understand beside natural truths that they certainly already understood in order to give understanding to the spiritual truths. So there are natural things that can illustrate spiritual things. There are natural laws that we understand, excuse me, that we understand. And then there are spiritual laws as well. There are laws to the spirit realm.
Yes.
Bob talks about the law of faith. Talks about the law of love.
Yes.
He uses that term, a law. Yeah. Not like law, like Moses' law.
Yeah.
But law like gravity law.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are laws.
Yeah.
And you can understand spiritual things by understanding natural things. Well, when it comes to moving with revelation, you have to understand there is such a thing as momentum.
Yes.
You can gain momentum by moving with revelation. When I say moving with it, I'm talking about putting up your sail in the, into where you think revelation thoughts and you speak revelation words, right?
Yeah.
And you renew your mind to what the revelation is. Amen. Y'all just hang with me. I'm.
Good.
I don't know if you're bored or what.
No, it's good.
I think you're thinking. That's what you're doing.
Good.
Right? So when you get your sail up into the revelation and you start moving with it, have you ever noticed that first, let me illustrate it this way. Sometimes people, some maybe in the congregation saw this and they're like, oh, wow. They saw the aircraft come, what to them seemed like real quick. They don't realize that's been something we've been moving, a revelation of God's plan that we've been moving with by faith for 30 years. Now, it doesn't take that long to believe God for an airplane, but it wasn't time for 30 years. But we kept speaking it. God had spoken and he gave us revelation. That was part of his plan. And we kept our mind, or we didn't let our mind go anywhere else. We kept our attention on what God said and we kept speaking it. And whenever we did that for 30 years, until God, you heard us say it, God said, the aircraft is in phase 3.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay, it's the time now. Yeah. So we started preparing the pilot, doing certain things, getting ready for the aircraft. Looking for the hangar, learning about aircraft, which aircraft are we going to buy, you know. And we just started moving at a pace that we had not been moving at before. But that thing had been moving with the momentum of our faith for 30 years. Does that make any sense? So people saw it. I mean, people that didn't know what was going on in the spirit because they didn't know maybe we had talked about speaking it. I don't know if we talked much about it before that, but you probably heard us say about God's plan was for aviation. But many of you probably didn't think much about it. But oh, I knew what I was talking about. And every time I think about it, I say, Father, I don't thank you for our aircraft.
Yes.
And to people on the outside, look like, well, look at that. That's just wow. That just happened real quick. And they say, well, I'm gonna do that. Well, you better take some time to build up some momentum.
Yes. Amen.
That looked easy. And it was easy. But it was we were moving with it. In other words, we had put in the faith and put in the spiritual energy, so to speak, to get up to that speed. Like a car that's up to speed, you don't have to use as much faith energy whenever you're believing God for something.
Amen?
So people want to be where somebody else is in faith, and they've never gotten things to flow, and they've never gotten any momentum in that area. Does that make any sense? Faith has momentum to it. Faith has momentum. You can put your sail up into the revelation and gain that momentum by that revelation. But you got to mix your faith with that revelation. I trust this isn't just, I trust you're understanding this. Hallelujah. To maintain momentum in the spirit, either a believer, a church, or, you know, that would be a group of people, must keep up with the pace of the revelation.
Yes.
With their faith.
Right.
Say, with their faith.
With their faith.
Amen. Those who don't stay at the pace of the revelation start lagging behind. And they're the ones that close their doors. Every man is invited in. Every ministry is invited in. Some respond. Others are distracted by shiny objects and religious theater shows that are void of any revelation. Just distractions that appeal to people's souls but have no substance. Amen. You have to know revelation will be opposed, and you entering into the revelation will be opposed.
Yes.
Not everybody wants revelation.
Yes, right.
Some people, they just want church as they church in their own imagination.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I think church ought to be. Well, where'd you get that idea?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, this is the way we've always done it.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Come on.
Church is about gaining revelation. Praise the Lord. So, revelation will be opposed. You have to know that. You remember whenever Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin, I think it's that first vision that, I think it was the first vision, maybe. I'm not sure about that, but remember the vision where Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin about some things about demon spirits and so forth. And while he's talking, there was this little imp that put up this smoke screen going, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak. Remember that?
Yep.
And he said, he was thinking, why doesn't Jesus do something about this? And finally, out of frustration, he just said, in the name of Jesus, shut up.
Yes. Yeah.
And the little thing fell on the floor, just whimpered. And then he said, not only shut up, get out of here. Remember,
yeah.
Jesus said, if you hadn't done anything about that, I couldn't have.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't understand that. You're going to have to give me scriptures. And he gave him more than he asked for.
Yeah.
But the point is that what was that little demon doing? He's opposing. Because Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin continued to talk, but he couldn't hear what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, he could hear the voice of somebody talking, but he couldn't hear the words. He couldn't.
Right.
He could not tell what was being said.
Yeah.
What is that? That's just par for the course when it comes to revelation.
Right.
Demons will oppose revelation.
Yeah.
They'll throw up all kinds of distractions, all kinds of other voices to drown it out.
Yeah.
You got to know that.
Right.
You got to fight for revelation. I don't mean, what I mean by that, for what's trying to distract you from it, is what I'm talking about. You could take that wrong. I'm just saying from what tries to distract you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when you go or you get close to a place that has revelation flowing, you will encounter opposition that you never encountered before in your whole life.
All right.
And people think that's strange. Because the enemy's strategy is to throw up things to hold you out of that place where revelation is coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where what God is saying cannot be heard.
Right.
Yeah. Or heard, but don't get it.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean by don't get it?
Yes, yes, sir.
Those oppositions come in the form of distractions in the natural.
Yeah.
Carnal people wanting to get you into strife, trials, fear, anxiety, mental attacks, thoughts of failure, rejection, financial attacks, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But those things are not about you. They're about the revelation.
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Don't take it personally. It's not about you. It's opposing the revelation.
Yes. Yes.
He doesn't want you to get up into it.
Yeah.
When I mean that, put your sail up into it and start moving with it.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, if I could shout this from the raftertops. People fall for these strategies of the enemy and you're like, why? It shouldn't have to be this way. Because the enemy is a master at distractions.
Amen.
What do we do for those folks? We pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. The eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Amen. Because when they stop flowing with the revelation, their whole life, their whole progress on their course stops. No, I'm still moving forward. Not if you're not moving with revelation. You might be making motions, but that's not movement in the spirit. Momentum does not, let me put it this way. Human activity does not equal momentum in spiritual things. Amen. Amen. And it's one thing for some folks that never have gotten the revelation. It's another thing for folks who get it and back out of it because of pressure, because of attacks, whatever, and let the enemy separate them from revelation. That's a totally different hound dog. Totally different hound dog. And Satan will send all kinds of false doctrines, psychology doctrines, which is doctrines of devils.
Come on.
I'm just going to be bold enough to say it. There are some truths in psychology, but most of it's doctrines of devils. They don't tell you anything about the new birth, being in Christ, raised, seated, the old man perishing and dying and being put in the grave. It doesn't tell you anything about that. It's just all mental contortions and stuff. Tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. He'll send all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. Listen, I've been pastoring for almost 24 years. I've watched hundreds of people get distracted. Not mad at them. But once you have light, it gets more serious. The space between the light you have and where you are walking is the space that the devil has access to you. Amen. You say, I'm going to back out of this revelation and get the devil to leave me alone. No. You just played right into his hands. That's exactly what he wanted, to get you to back out of the revelation. See, faith is not looking for relief. Faith perseveres to victory.
All right.
With the revelation.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
Everything you need to master the strategies of the enemy is in the revelation. Don't back out of the revelation. Stay with the revelation. Hear ye, hear ye. I feel like standing up like a prophet in the Old Testament. Hear ye, hear ye. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now let's talk about this momentum thing a little bit more. Hallelujah. Acts 17:28. In him we live and we what? We move. Those who respond to revelation consistently gain momentum in that revelation.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. If Justin and I are flying, or Pastor Debbie and Justin and I are flying, we get up to, we're taking off, and we get up to 3,000 feet. You know how you get up, you know how you gain that momentum and you get up to that altitude, is that little dynamo on the front, it's called an engine and a propeller, is pulling the air across the wings, and the law of lifting those wings, and you get up there. And so you got to keep that dynamo. That's really what an engine is. It's a dynamo. You got to keep that thing running. If we get up to 3,000 feet and said, let's take a minute break. I don't know how quickly that thing would come down. Where's Justin? I don't know, maybe he didn't come tonight, but he's back in the back. Okay. So you can't keep gaining momentum and therefore climb by taking breaks.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? By taking breaks on the revelation, or taking breaks on moving in faith with the revelation. We go up to 3,000, take a break. We're almost down. Okay, we better turn it back on, take another break, and get up there and take a break. You're never going to get anywhere. Consistency. Consistency. I mean, from the time he says, we're off, till he fully throws that thing all the way. It's not all the way open, but up probably 75% of power or a little bit more. He throws that engine in full throttle forward. From that time until those wheels are almost on the ground at the destination, that engine is staying up there, continuing to run.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the way you maintain momentum and get to where you're going.
Yes.
You can't take breaks from faith.
No.
Somebody said, I need a vacation. Vacations are fine, but don't take a vacation from faith.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Good preaching. Good preaching. This is helping me. I'm going to take yours home. If you don't want yours, I'm going to take yours. Just lay it here in the pulpit before you leave. Praise the Lord. So, we you don't want to respond to revelation part of the time and then turn to other thinking part of the time. Just stay with the revelation. Stay with it day in, day out. Right? And here's another thing. Can we just give you a couple of pointers before we go? Revelation, if you want to have momentum in revelation, momentum is gained by a quick response to it.
All right.
Taking a long time to respond to revelation slows down momentum. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason is because when we don't respond to it, we disengage our faith from it. In other words, we're not putting our sail up into it. Amen. Now, the sweet spot is staying right in step with what God is revealing to you. You come to church. Oh, wow. I'm crucified. And we preach, I'm crucified with Christ. Wow. Okay. All these old things that trying to dog my life, that's of the old man.
Yeah.
I'm already free from it.
Yes.
I'm dead to it.
Yes.
You get that revelation. Okay. That's the end of me talking about my hurts and my troubles.
Yes.
And how somebody did me because that old man died. Now, staying with that revelation will move you beyond where you've been living.
Yes.
Right? But you can't take a long time to respond to that, or it's going to take a long time to get beyond that trouble. Praise the Lord. And you can't, you know, say, I forgive them, and I move with the in Christ revelation, that's just the old man. And then 3 weeks later, start to think about what they did. That dirty dog did me wrong. I can't believe that. And you get back. Well, you just turned off your dynamo on your. Are we making any sense tonight? Praise the Lord. The sweet spot is just staying up in it. Just stay up in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So. I'm almost done. I might get out early. Oh, it's already 8:25. I thought I was going to get out early tonight. Praise the Lord. You have to stay steady with your faith. Stay steady with the revelation. You have to keep. I heard somebody talking about fishing. Well, I know a little bit about fishing. I don't do it much, but I know a little bit about it. I know you get a fish on the line. You can't let slack on the line. Right? You gotta pull the rod up and reel the rod down. In other words, you can't just let some slack and reel and then pull and then let some slack and reel. You gotta keep the line taut. Why? Because he'll spit that hook right out. You give him an opportunity. Slack on the line gives him that opportunity. Right? So that's why you have to be consistent with faith. Amen. You never get what you're believing for. You never give the opportunity for it to jump off the line. Does that make any sense? Stay steady with your believing, steady with your confession, day in and day out. And let me tell you, you'll land a whopper. Right? I said, you'll land a whopper. Praise God. People of faith, the people with really the true spirit of faith, they're not excited one day, and the next day they're all discouraged. That's letting slack on the line. Does it make any sense? Just using different illustrations to kind of help us to get it. You just keep on. I believe it. I got it. I'm in Christ. I'm born of the Spirit. Old things have passed away. Praise God. I'm a new creation. I'm raised. I'm seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that keeps that thing on the line, so to speak. Praise God. Let me give you a couple illustrations, and we'll wrap this up. When we built our house, we currently live in, we had, back there at the time, we were considering whether to build, or we had an opportunity to buy a house in front of this land and live there for a while and then build our house later, the one we wanted to build. We had that opportunity, and then we had the choice of either doing that or go ahead and build. This was in 2000, I think around 18 or something like that. We started building in 2019, I think, somewhere in there. But so we had the choice. Now, if we would have bought the house in front of the land and lived there a while, that would have been easier on our faith.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So we considered that, or we could just start building right away and not even buy the house in front. And Pastor Debbie and I talked, because you got to get an agreement.
Yes, sir.
And when I say agreement, I don't say one's just going along with the other one, but the one's dragging the other. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about both hearts are really engaged. That's some good help for married folks. So we just talked and we kind of both decided and agreed that the first choice would be easier on our faith. The second choice, it was within our measure, but boy, it was stretched up to the edge of it. And we talked and we said, We came to this conclusion, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
Let's just build our house right now. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And so we went ahead and we moved with it. And it took all the faith we had. And a couple of bailouts. The Lord met us.
Yeah.
The Lord met us.
Yes.
And we got it.
Yeah.
Praise God. And it took... It turned into the greatest decision, one of the greatest decisions we ever made financially, as far as real estate and houses and stuff like that. Because we closed, moved in, and 2 weeks, I think it was maybe less than 2 weeks later, COVID shut everything down. And you remember what happened to the prices of lumber and everything that you used to build a house after that?
Yeah.
I think today, and I haven't done the actual numbers, but I can estimate, probably today, if we were going to build that house, if we would have waited, you know, bought the house up front and waited and built that our home later, probably we would have paid between 35% and 45% more to build it. You know what that means? That's money in our pocket. If you know anything about equity and all that. Make any sense?
Yes, sir.
So God was sort of leaving it up to us. But here's what I wanted you to see. It always pays to stay on the leading edge of your faith.
Yeah.
Don't stay on the back foot. God's always, pastor, preach another sermon. Okay. No, stay on the leading edge. Stay leaning. Wherever your measure is, stay up on the edge of it.
Yeah.
To where your nose is right up against the edge of it. It'll pay off.
Amen.
I said, it'll pay off.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Some of you don't know about that, but it'll pay off.
Amen.
Not beyond your measure, but up on the leading edge.
Yes, so good.
Not the bleeding edge, the leading edge. Not the jagged edge.
Yeah, that's so good.
Another illustration. When God spoke to us about starting the church in Kansas City, I heard it, wrote it all down, got direction that it actually had to do with the local church, settled it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the devil fought it for a while, but I knew in my heart, settled it.
Yeah.
And for years, the Lord had given me a certain amount of time after I've heard something to get it done. But in more recent years, he doesn't give me that much time. So I was burdum, 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 burdum. We're gonna start church in Kansas City. Burdum, 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 burdum. We're gonna do it. Burdum, burdum, burdum. Yep, one of these days was probably in my mind was one of these years. And I'll never forget it. I was sitting in a Wednesday night service right here and the Lord convicted me to my core. He said, I'll go at the pace of this that you go.
Yeah.
In other words, the pace you're at right now, it's going to take a long time for what I have for you to come to pass. I got convicted to the core. I'm smiling at everybody. Hallelujah. But on the inside, I'm like, I want to go home and pray right now because I got to get some things right. And I got convicted that he'll move at the pace. And so I told Debbie, I said, let's go. Let's do it. Let's just start taking steps. Finding out, okay, here's what we got in our heart. Start moving. You know, if you start moving that direction, it's like, that's not quite right. Okay, we're looking for it. We're looking for it. Yeah. This is it. Okay, here it is. Let's do it. Okay, now we can get this far. Now we got to find out what's the next step. How do we do this? How do we do that? There it is. Boom. Go with that. And we just stayed up there. And it's so neat because here we are 2 years later, plus a little bit, and we're already starting to, there's such unity coming together down there. They're becoming a family. They're becoming excited. They're inviting other people. They're starting to get what we're preaching, and they're starting to love it, and the unity and the faith and everything is starting to flow down there. It's just been fun. It's getting fun.
Amen.
And I thought to myself, if I would have stayed at my pace, I'd still be going, ha-ba-loop, ba-loop. And we wouldn't be in this right now.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yes. So good.
It was up on the leading edge again.
Yeah.
But we pressed. And came up to momentum and kept the dynamos going, if you know what I mean. And here we are, where it doesn't take as much faith now to maintain. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to stand up and then I'll close. That'll help me close. The thing is, if you get a car or an airplane up to speed, and like I said, you turn off the engine or let off the accelerator or something like that, you know, you can coast for a while because you've got momentum. Even an airplane, it'll coast for a while. We Justin tells me all about it. If we turned off the engine right now, we're not believing for the engine to turn off itself. But if we turned off the engine, there's a certain radius you can look at and say, we can, depending on our altitude, X number of feet, you can expect to be able to glide to a particular area. So in that area, look for an airport. And if you see no airport, look for a cornfield, preferably a soybean field. And preferably one that's smooth.
Yes.
We're not believing to go down, so don't. But you have to be wise. You have to be smart.
Yes,
right? And in the wintertime, we pack big, heavy coats and stuff. So because you turn off those dynamos, or that dynamo, and you're going to coast for a while.
Yeah.
You can coast on the momentum of what you had going.
Yeah.
And it might look like, wow, this is pretty cool. We didn't turn off the engine and we went kerplunk. You might can get an idea like, wow, we can just coast for the rest of our life. But no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't, right? And that's the way it is in faith. You can get to a place where you're comfortable and stop the press. Everybody say, we press towards the mark.
Yes.
Say it out loud. We press towards the mark for the prize. There has to be a constant press. It's the most natural thing in the world to relax your faith. Did you get that? It's the most natural thing in the world to relax your faith because faith is not natural. You're operating in spiritual things. Hallelujah. So you can, it looks like everything's fine. We're doing fine. We turned off the dynamo, fine. And you can coast for a while and everybody else thinks you're doing good, but you're not. You're coming down. Right? And then guess what? It takes a lot more fuel to get that thing back up there. The best thing to do is never let off the accelerator. Well, I don't know why it takes so long to come to pass. Well, because you, and then you turn it off, and you stop for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
This is good preaching. Brother Travis, I got to ask you again. Is this good preaching? That's good. Okay. You've heard it from the mouth of the source himself.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I've had people, when we ministered at the healing school, people would come and they would say things like this. And I understand where they're coming from. I'm not being hard on them. I just know where, because I live in the flesh too.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody live in the flesh?
Yeah.
I mean, you live in a body that's flesh.
Yeah.
I don't mean in the flesh like yielding to the flesh. But they come to say, okay, I'll be so glad when this is over, I won't have to use my faith. You know, they came to healing school because they were attacked. I'll be so glad when this attack is over. I get on, you know, I receive what belongs to me. And I won't have to use my faith. And we said, honey, sit down. Sweetheart, this is for the rest of your life. Well, that's not the way I want to live. Okay, be defeated for the rest of your life. Because now that you have this revelation, right? Well, glory.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say the pace
and momentum.
I'm staying in both of those flows.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine the difference in Paul's day between the churches that Paul went and preached at regularly and the churches that he never darkened the door of? Can you imagine the difference in their flow of revelation? Are we blessed? Are we blessed here at Spirit of Faith Family Church to have the, you know, like camp meeting and the things that we hear in this church?
Yes.
We're getting ready to come on the holidays, and I'll prophesy it'll happen again this year. Somebody will go to be with their family for the holidays, and they'll come back from the holidays, and they'll come this aisle and walk up here and say, Pastor, thank you for this church. Why do you thank God for this church?
Because I went to church with my relatives.
Hallelujah. Amen. I prophesy. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to church tonight? Praise God. For the rest of your life. So turn to your neighbor and say, for the rest of your life, you're going to keep your sail up into the revelation that's moving in this era. Hallelujah. You know, we spend a lot of money to have camp meeting and things like that. Why? Because it's not about the money. It's about the revelation. It's about the revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our lives are different because of the revelation. Our lives are different.